Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be reading out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that enlightens us, gives us a good response to deal with anything, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have touched your word, and your word is already anointed, dear God. And we pray, Father, that that which you have to say today will come forth as you want it to come forth. Touch your people. Let them be encouraged. Let the walk that they're walking will be successful. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, it's the last Sunday of the year.
Praise
the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Some of us sitting here saying, we made it. Glory to God. Hey, God.
Glory to God.
I made it.
Isn't that wonderful, Father?
Thank you, Jesus.
And you know, during this time, we have end of year thoughts. We have end of year thinking, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, it is usually a time of reflection that we just, our mind goes a lot of different ways. We're probably going to go through about 8 of those different items today. The things that we think about at this time of the year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of the things that we think about, naming one, personal accomplishments. Right? What have we achieved in our work? Right? What about our hobbies? That. What about personal development? Those who are going to school, those who finished school. We had some who had finished high school this year. Thank God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And they're saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're saying glory to Jesus.
Praise God. And they kind of relax.
Amen. Praise God. And some had health goals, had passed those goals. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. And you know, we just love to hear the stories, especially of our seniors who talk to us. Let me tell you, if you ever take some time listening to some of our seniors, those who, I call them seniors, but I'm telling you, they can just run me down. I got one particular one, I sit down with her, and I got to call her out. Hallelujah, my arm is sore. Poke me. And told me and let me know. She's so strong. Praise God. I just praise God for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows who I'm talking about. Good to see her here, even here today. Praise God. It's just a blessing. And then, you know, we look at our resolutions that we had last year. Did we accomplish them? Okay. It's kind of funny because around the 17th of the new year, they have ordered a day called Ditch New Year's Resolution
yes,
Day.
Yes.
Because almost 2 weeks
before after we've actually set them, ready to ditch them.
So we talk about personal confidence. We think about those things. We think about how we started the year. Hallelujah. Then we talk about significant events that happen in the year. And we think about those significant events, major changes. Maybe some of us had new jobs. Maybe new relationships. Praise God. Births. So grateful. A new grandson. Baby LaRue came here today, this year. Praise God. And there were also significant events. There may have been some deaths. People went home to be with the Lord. Loved ones. Some people may have made moves. Okay? Praise God. Last year I made the move. Get closer to the church. Praise God. It's so much easier to get here now.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Right? But those are significant life events that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Then we may meditate on relationships. relationships. Maybe relationships that are in our families, our relationships with our family and friends. We think on those things when we come down towards the end of the year. We meditate on those things. We think about them. Somehow we get very pensive around this time. Can I say amen? Is that true? Yeah, it actually happens, right? We have to think about those things. And then we get down to dealing with our financial status. We're going to this new year. Man, I was sitting down watching a film, and I literally had to stop. As I was watching this film, I saw a gas pump.
Oh,
hallelujah.
And I stopped that film. $0.74 a gallon. I said,
$0.74.
Right. What we need to do with 74 cents a gallon of gas?
That's happy days.
Oh, happy days. But it's true. It's like, it's and you look at it and you say, that's, and you can't get away from, if you drive your car, you can't get away from getting gas.
No.
You have to buy it every week.
Yes.
Every week.
Every week.
Yeah. Can we skip a week? No.
No.
And I wish I could invent how to
come up,
you know,
with
fuel a car with water.
Right.
I know somebody's working on it.
Yeah.
Somebody's working on it. Fuel a car with water. Boy, we'd be wealthy. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. So we deal with our financial status, review our finances, we start the budget for the new year, spend time doing that. Then we have gratitude for our positive experiences. You know, those things that happen, we reflect on the good things that happen throughout the year. Say with me, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the good things, that happened this year.
Amen.
Why don't you just take a moment and think about one good thing and thank the Lord personally.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Thank you. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all those good things. Wow. Don't we have a lot to be grateful for?
Yes, we do.
We do.
Hallelujah.
And after dealing with personal accomplishments and significant events and relationships with loved ones, financial status, and gratitude for our positive experiences, we come to the place where we deal with regret or missed opportunities. Regret or missed opportunities. Things that we wish we had done differently. We all have them, you know. Some of them hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible is wonderful that it provides a biography of people's experiences to show us that many were just like us. That's why I love the Word of God. You read about the good points of their lives. You read about the bad points of their lives. And it lets us know where we're at.
Yes.
Reminding us that we have the same instance. We have the same struggles. We have the same temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, verse 8 says this. I'm reading two versions. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That's King James. And the easy reading version says this. The only temptations that you have are the same temptations that all people have. See, we love the Word of God because it lets us know that we are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're not alone. And looking up the word temptation, I found it means this. When we look at Strong's Concordance, we have the Greek word that says perasmos, if you can actually pronounce it, a pudding or proof, experiment of good, experience of evil, by experiment of good. Was it suggesting that temptation will come to us sometimes to prove us? Are we in alignment? Are we truly say that we're good? We know that we have our friends at work doing that every day. Oh, I thought she was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. Yeah, because that thing slipped, right? We know. It happens. You know, like experiment, like it's experience, salutation, discipline. Temptation is like an adversity comes to you. Then the Oxford Dictionary puts it this way. It says the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Temptation. And I was very surprised when I looked on Wikipedia to find out what they had for temptation. They said temptation is a desire to engage in short-term goal urges for enjoyment that threatens long-term goals.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I found that on Wikipedia. I couldn't believe it.
That's strong.
It says to engage in short-term urges for enjoyment that threatens long-term goals. Goodness.
Wow.
You know, in these definitions, regret is produced when our response to this temptation has not been the greatest. And our missed opportunity is that we could not show a good testimony of strength resisting the temptation. I got to read that again. And regret is produced when our response to the temptation has not been the greatest. And our missed opportunity is could not show a good testimony of strength resisting the temptation.
Wow.
That's what regret deals with.
Yeah.
But the scripture there says, but no temptation is uncommon. Mm-hmm. Wow. Think about that. No temptation that has confronted us is uncommon. Everything that we are going through,
someone else has been through that also.
And every trial, therefore, not only
we have those who have gone through the situation
and failed, we have those who have gone through and have not failed.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's true.
We have those who have been successful. This is why we are to connect with one another. This is why we connect with one another. As we're a community, we come together on a regular basis. Because where you may be failing in a particular area, you got somebody right there who can encourage you and help you because they actually won that battle.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, Pastor continues to tell us that three connections that you must make to grow in grace successfully is to give God a lease. Connect with him. Then we connect with his word.
Mm-hmm.
And then we connect with his people.
That's right.
When we say connect with God, I remind you, even said it last week, give God at least 15 minutes of your day.
Yeah.
At least. Start with the first 15. You know? You have to make it an effort. You have to make it you just got to make it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with him. And it may take you prayer, word, and worship. Pray to God all the time. I hope you're doing that at work. I hope you did it at school. Especially if you can't get something at school. I can't tell you because I got saved when I was 13 years old. Not in a Christian home, but in a single parent home. Four kids. When I got saved, it was the Father God.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many things. I look back over my life and say, what has he got me through? I've gone through so much. It's so wonderful. So wonderful. He's faithful.
Yes, he is.
When we connect with his word, we get the guidance and we get to know the mind of God. When you don't read his word, you don't get to know his mind. You read his word to get the mind of God. It's so exciting. And we connect with his people and they provide comfort and testimony. Testimony. We overcame him by the word of our testimony. So when we have people that we come to, they can testify of what they have accomplished or what they've gone through and been successful at, they're going to be overcomers. Praise God.
Glory.
This is why we meet. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Reading the English, easy reading version says this, we must not quit meeting together as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. What day is he talking about? Jesus is about to make the entrance.
Yes, he is.
We need to remind ourselves. He's coming.
Yes, he is.
And at the end of the year, some people even remember more specifically because you find them in church, New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You find them in church on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that if Jesus would come during those times, they're going to go be with them. But if they don't know Jesus, they're going to be sitting right there in that pew. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, why do we come? Because we need to exhort one another daily while it's called today. Lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look what it says in Easy Reading Version. It says this, but encourage each other every day while you still have something called today. Help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. Whoa. That's why we get together. Iron sharpeneth iron. Now, we know that church attendance has gone down over the years. And specifically, if I look at a survey that I looked at Gallup, believe it or not, those who may not go to church, they're always going to find out how we go to church. It's very interesting how they study us, and they may not even go to church.
Yeah.
Well, Gallup had a survey for over 2021 to 2023. And in the survey, we find, you may not be able to see this. Now, this was the question that was asked. How often, now it's not, look at this. How often do you usually attend church, synagogue, mosque, or temple? Every week? Almost every week? About once a month? Or seldom or never? So that was the question. In the U.S., U.S. adults, out of 32,445 people they surveyed, they found only 21% said they go every week. Now, that's just going to some religious experience. Among Christians, or Protestant Christians, it was said there was 30%. Only 30%. And they surveyed 15,147 people.
Wow.
Only 30% of them who call themselves Christians showed up to church every week.
Wow.
That's only 4,544 people out of 15,147.
Wow.
Wow. That's what I said. Wow. Yeah, it's wow. It is wow. Yes, we gather together to encourage each other to be close to God. Because there is nothing that any of us go through which is not common. But let us read the rest of the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation always make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, why am I reading different translations? If you really need to get a translation who you really like and stick with it, okay? I happen to grow up on King James. I started with the Living Bible because that's what was given me when I got saved. I read that, all right? And the Living Bible had everything in it, even curses. and I got through it, right? And then I started reading King James, right? Now, if you know that ye means you and thee means you, you don't have problems. You don't have to worry about the these and the thous and what have you. It still means you, okay? You still can read it, right? And I started reading that. But when I read the Word of God, if something is a little bit complex, it's so wonderful that we can pull out another translation just to find a little bit of what it says. And if you really want to know what the Lord's saying, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You start with more of a literal translation, which is the King James, and you have quote to a paraphrase if you need a little more clarity sometimes. But an easy reading version says this: the only temptations that you have are the same temptations that all people have. But you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also give you a way of escape that temptation. Then you will be able to endure it. Let me repeat what I said earlier. Regret is produced when our response to a temptation has not been the greatest. Our missed opportunity is when we could not show a good testimony of strength resisting the temptation. What this verse implies is that we can win against temptation. We can win.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you understand that? We can win.
Amen.
Praise God. We can win. When we deal with the regrets or the missed opportunities last year and we deal with those, we realize as we go on this year, we don't have to fall for the same
thing we fell last year.
We can move on. We can grow. Hallelujah. Say it with me. God will not suffer me. Be tempted above that I'm able. God will, with the temptation,
also make a way of escape.
God will help me bear or endure.
So
when you're caught up in a situation, which you will have next year, okay, especially those who are still working, and those who are not working, maybe retired, but have a wonderful opportunity when they go in the grocery store to be tempted to do something. Right? Person's messing up at the counter, gave you the wrong change, and you blessed them, right, in Jesus' name. Hopefully you blessed them like Jesus told you to bless them, not the way you were thinking to bless them.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
But when you are facing these things, and when you're tempted, what question or what you pose to the Lord? What should you pose to the Lord? Lord, show me the way of escape. God has promised in this word that regardless of what you go through, there is a way of escape.
So when a person tells
you that I couldn't help it, there's just no way, there was no way out. If you believe the Lord said there's going to be a way out. I think the first thing you need to think about is when you push so hard and you're tempted so hard, you need to say, Lord, okay, this is hard. Where's the way out?
Yes.
So, in some cases, if there's an open door, you need to run. Right? Right? You know, the scripture says, flee youthful lust. Right?
Absolutely.
Flee! Yes. You know, it's interesting. When I was younger, when I saw that scripture says, there are times you need to flee a situation. Didn't Joseph have to flee?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He was just minding his own business, trying to be just a good steward of his master's house. Potiphar's wife had some other intentions. Right? And he fled. He still got in trouble, but he fled.
Yes.
You know, just to recap. Deal personal accomplishments with significant life events, relationships with loved ones, financial status, gratitude, positive experiences, and we deal with regret or missed opportunities. We love the Bible because it even shows us where our teachers have had regrets. Who are our teachers? Well, there's a person named Peter. Mm-hmm. Paul. Mm-hmm. Wow. Did they have regrets? Did they have missed opportunities?
Yeah.
Let's look at Peter. John 13, verse 36 says this. I'm reading an easy reading version. And it says, Simon Peter asked Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus had already talked to his disciples and he said, look, I'm getting ready to finish my course. I'm getting ready to do what God's told me to do. I'm going. And he's telling them. And based on what he was saying, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. So Simon says this. He says, where am I? Jesus says to him, where am I going? You cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. And Peter asks, Lord, why can't I follow you now?
I'm ready to die for you.
And Jesus answered, will you really give your life for me? The truth is, before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you don't even know me. Do you think Peter regretted that?
Yeah.
Now we read the works that attributed Peter. We read a lot of his life stories through the Acts of Apostles.
Yes, good stuff.
But he had regrets. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 26 and 75 says this. Then he remembered what Jesus had told him. Before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you don't know me. Peter went outside and cried bitterly. He had been with Jesus 3.5 years. And he was always jumping up saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Mm-hmm. He came to get him, right? Mm-hmm. What did Peter get up and do? Chopped off the servant's ear.
Yeah.
Jesus had caused a healing when he was getting ready to go to his crucifixion.
Right. Miracle.
Because Peter, you know, he was like that.
Yeah.
Right? But the issue is, he denied Christ. What about Paul? Mm-hmm. Did Paul have regrets?
Oh, yes.
Now, who was Paul? Over 13 letters in the New Testament was considered written by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's letters are considered a major part of the New Testament, contributing significantly to our Christian theology.
Yeah.
Most everything that we believe, God has used Paul's hand to write it.
Yes. Praise God.
But look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. This is Paul speaking. He says, all other apostles are greater than I am. Mm-hmm. I say this because I persecuted the church of God.
Yes.
That was a regret.
That is.
Before he got saved, he persecuted the church of God. And you think about, why was he not sent to the Jewish believers? Because most of the starting were Jewish believers. And he did a number of things. He said, look what he says here. That is why I'm not even good enough to be called an apostle. But because of God's grace, that is what I am. And his grace that he gave me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the apostles. But I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was within me. So then, it is not important if I told you God's message, or if it was the other apostles who told you. We all tell people, this is what you believed. So he basically regrets the work he did. You see, Paul entered people's homes. He arrested men and women, put them in prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul was responsible at forefront persecution to kill many Christians.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
He continued to threaten the Lord's disciples. He even went and asked for special letters so he could bound them up and bring them back to the synagogue, people who were supposed to be Christians. Paul's persecution of the church is described in the Bible in Acts 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 15. He brings all those things out. Verse 8 says, look this, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, Saul was consenting to his death. At this time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Looking at Acts chapter 26, verse 9 and 11, look what it says here. He says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them, often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities."
Yeah.
Paul was a mess.
Yes.
Big time, yeah.
He had a lot of regrets, though.
Yeah.
You wonder why that Paul didn't get married? You know, that's what we believe, because he's talking about it's better for me not to be married.
Yeah.
He had a lot that he wanted to make up.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a good way.
Think about it.
Thinking it, yeah.
He got some Christians killed.
Wow.
So he's going to reach as many Christians he can now reach for the name of Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
Yes. Even those who we read about in the Word of God, they deal with regrets and missed opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the year, we deal with those things. We deal with regrets and missed opportunities. Okay? And then, after all is said and done, the next thing that we deal with is two areas, are challenges and failures and future goals and aspirations. Challenges and failures. You know, during this year, we may have had persistent negative experiences, blocking our path,
yeah.
Getting in our way,
mm-hmm.
Not part of the plan. Just those things just getting in our way.
Yeah.
Maybe people, maybe circumstances.
Maybe
many things, just getting in our way when we're trying to make attempts to do better for ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Or we've been trying so hard to get things done, fit, and we have failures. We have failures. Some of us in school, That's not the grade I really wanted. I need this particular grade. You know, I didn't get that particular grade. Challenges and intermittent failures can have a great impact on our future goals and aspirations. And sometimes these challenges and unsuccessful attempts may even cause a person to stop moving forward. We're thinking about a new year, but we got all the stuff and baggage we've been dealing with the previous year.
Yeah, yeah.
All the challenges. We're dealing with those things. But Galatians 6 and 9 tells us this. "And let us not grow weary in well-doing.
Amen.
For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, glory to God." Hallelujah.
Jesus.
In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
If we continue to persevere, we continue to push forward, we shall reap if we faint not.
Jesus.
Glory to God. We shall accomplish those things if we don't draw back and quit.
That's right.
Even for our walk, Hebrews 3 and 14 says, "We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast towards the end." Continue to believe the Lord.
Yeah.
Reverend Kenneth W. Hagin, one of our mentors, said this, "I cannot be defeated if I do not quit."
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
I can't be defeated if I don't quit.
That's right.
Let me tell you about a couple people who were faced with this. Let's look at Thomas Edison for a minute, dealing with this light bulb that we just totally just take for granted.
Yeah. Thank you.
Before inventing the light bulb, estimates ranging from 1,000 to 10,000 attempts.
Okay.
In fact, it was recorded, if you look at the light bulb that he created, it recorded that it's recorded 2,774 times before he got working.
Mm-hmm.
And many textbooks have said that Edison failed at least 10,000 times. Edison is known for saying, I have not failed 10,000 times. I successfully found 10,000 ways that it will not work. See, Edison and his team of researchers began working on the light bulb in 1878 in Menlo Park, New Jersey, very close to us, and then finally succeeded on October 22, 1879. After working all day in the previous day, the light bulb burned for a little over a half a day. The light bulb only burned for half a day. And it cost $40,000. And today's money, we're talking about $850,000. To get this going.
Wow.
Now, if he stopped after 1,000 times or whatever time, in the dark.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I like. I'm glad I don't have to burn.
<That's dangerous>.
Amen. Praise God. But if people like that just stop, what would it happen? His Edison positive attitude towards helped him to keep going and learn from each unsuccessful attempt. He believed that each failure eliminated a solution that wouldn't work, bringing him closer to a successful one.
Mm.
Now, we read about Albert Einstein. We think, what, genius, right?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this. Albert Einstein, a iconic physicist known for his theory of relativity, encountered significant challenges on his path to scientific recognition. He faced rejection and struggled to find a teaching position, with some considering him a poor candidate for academia. It wasn't until he had secured a job in the Swiss Patent Office that he was able to continue his research. Einstein's breakthroughs in theoretical physics revolutionized our understanding of the universe. His story illustrates that brilliance is not always recognized immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And what other people have to say about you, if you follow Einstein, you shouldn't let it matter.
Yeah.
Okay? Because as far as they were concerned, he was a dummy. But now, everything centers around his discoveries. Everybody heard of Dyson vacuum cleaners? James Dyson, founder, maybe worth billions of dollars today. But what that success came over a decade of failures. James Dyson, which is he's referred to now as Sir James Dyson, came up with the idea of cyclone vacuum technology. But it took 5,127 prototypes and tens of thousands of dollars in debt.
Wow.
He and his wife lived off her art teacher salary, counting pennies, for over 15 years before perfecting this design.
Wow.
The story teaches us that even without funding or money in the bank, people can fail thousands of times and still end up successful.
Wow.
Walt Disney is synonymous with creativity and imagination, right? Yet his career began with failure. In the 1920s, Disney was fired from a newspaper job because his editor felt he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Studio Laugh or Graham went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
The setbacks at the end of his career, Disney saw that as opportunities to learn and grow. He used his early failures to refine his vision and develop new skills, eventually creating the iconic character Mickey Mouse and building one of the most successful entertainment empires in history.
Yes.
I like this one. Everybody heard of Sarah Blakely? From fad to multi-billionaire. Now, I know you women may know about her.
Yes.
She's the founder of Spanx.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, I knew it was one of
okay?
Yes.
She's the founder of Spanx.
Right.
She turned one of her greatest fears, failure, into a key ingredient for success. Blakely early career was she was a door-to-door fax machine salesperson and was far from glamorous. And after being met with countless no's, she shifted gears and decided to solve a personal problem. She wanted undergarments that didn't show through her clothing. So when she created Spanx, Blakely was met with skepticism from manufacturers and department stores alike. She faced numerous rejections, but Blakely's upbringing says, where her father regularly encouraged her to embrace fear, he gave her the confidence to persist. She is known for her quote, "Fear is nothing more than life's way of nudging you that you're off course."
Wow.
My dad used to ask, we failed at today. Today, Spanx is a billion-dollar company, and Blakely's story is a testament to the idea that when failure is seen as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block, great things can actually happen.
That's right. That's right. Yes, yes. That's right.
Did you know that Michael Jordan was actually
on the
basketball team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Can you imagine that?
Wow, that's crazy.
He was actually cut from his high school basketball team.
Wow.
And as he and Jordan did not let this setback discourage him from playing the game. That could discourage a person.
Yeah.
There's a popular ad out there that says that he goes and says, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games, and on 26 occasions I have been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." This one should surprise you. Ludwig von Beethoven. In Beethoven's developing years, he was extremely awkward on the violin. He was also so busy working on his compositions that he often neglected the practice. Despite his deep love of music composition, most of his teachers felt he was hopeless and would never be successful in composing or with the violin.
Wow.
In fact, his music teacher actually told his parents he was too stupid to ever be a music composer.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Isn't that right?
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
He's too stupid to be a music composer. Didn't have it that great either. She was she's adored by millions today and fans worldwide. She's worth billions thanks to her talk show and media empire. But when Winfrey actually was fired from her first TV job as one of the news anchors for the Baltimore WJZ TV because she got too emotionally invested in her stories, she was told she was unfit for television news. As a consolation, she was offered a role on a daytime TV show, People Are Talking, and the show began to hit, and Winfrey stayed for 8 years, and Winfrey eventually became the Oprah Winfrey Show, and when it aired 25 seasons, she currently worked over estimated $3 billion, according to Forbes. I like this last one, J.K. Rowling's. Everybody know J.K. Rowling's? A lot of people do know. You may not like her books. You don't like Harry Potter seasons and things like this. But J.K. Rowling may be very wealthy today. But before she published her series on Harry Potter novels, she was severely depressed. She recently divorced, nearly penniless, all while attending school, writing her novel, and trying to raise a child on her own. With a great book idea and a coursework hard, dedication, J.K. Rowling went from working at a small cafe, depending on welfare to survive, to now being one of the richest women in the world in a short-term span of 5 years.
Wow.
Whenever your end-of-year thoughts may land, okay? I'm getting ready to close. You are going into a new year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop that from happening. You understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop it from happening. You are going into a new year.
Yes.
Besides personal accomplishments, besides significant life events, relationships with loved ones, financial status, gratitude for positive experiences, gratitude, a regret or missed opportunity, challenges and failures, and future goals and aspirations. As we finally contemplate how to get past our regret, our missed opportunities and challenges and failures, so we can focus on what God has in store for us during this new year, maybe we agree with Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I don't mean that I'm exactly what God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue to try to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. It is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know that I still have a long way to go. But there is one thing I do. Forget that which is in the past.
Amen.
And I try as hard as I can
to reach the goal before me.
Yes. You can't do anything about what has happened last year. Can't do anything about it. And you can't stop for this new year coming.
That's right. I keep running
toward the finish line to get the prize that is mine. To a life up there in heaven. All of us who have grown to be spiritually mature should think this way too. And if there is any of this that you don't agree with, God will make it clear to you. But we should continue following the truth we already have. Brothers and sisters, join together following my example. This is Paul talking. Also learn by watching those who are living the way we showed you. There are many who live like enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you about them, and it makes me cry to tell you about them now. Paul's heart got so intense about people knowing Jesus that he cries that they just won't follow the way. It's almost like our pastors. They try the best to help us. Sometimes we go through things, and we go through these challenges. We go into these life challenges. We deal with missed opportunity. We deal with these regrets. And sometimes they don't even have the words to tell us or to teach us at the moment. But if they point us to the Word of God, let God give his answer to you, it makes all the difference. Verse 19, he says, the way they live is leading them to destruction, talking about those who turn their backs. They have replaced God with their own desires. They do shameful things, and they are proud of what they do. They think only about earthly things. But the government that rules us in heaven, we are waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from there. And finally, he says this in Philippians chapter 4, coming back to our starter text, he said, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing.
Amen.
You got this new year coming. Don't be anxious.
That's right.
Don't get caught up and messed up thinking about what's going to happen next. Let's learn how to take one day at a time.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you don't plan. Don't make plans. Because if you're going to go back to school, you got to make plans. You got to choose your classes way before when. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But treat it as though that God's help each day, I'm going to go through it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is how you know you're going through. You walk with his peace. You walk with his peace. If you're all upset and all moved, you're not in his peace yet.
That's right.
Maybe you need to sit down. You know what? All the advantages of the Word of God being written, digitalized, audio, what have you, there is no excuse that we don't have the Word inside of us. Because when Jesus said that the Spirit of God will guide you in all truth, and he'll show you things that he has spoken unto you. He's talking about his word. Yes. All the Bible is Jesus' word. Yes. Oh, you said you don't think so? You'll see it. Many times when I need something, peace.
Yes.
It's the word that's going to give peace.
That's right.
I have watched my wife go through several things towards the end of the year. And sometimes she would go through things that she can't even talk to me about it.
Yeah, it's hard, yeah.
She just opened up the scriptures. She started reading them. Yeah. I've seen her get up late at nights and just sit before a screen and just show scriptures and read those scriptures out loud.
Hallelujah.
Then we get to the car. She would turn on the Bible. You know, you have a hard drive. Some of these people have a hard drive in your car. Mm-hmm. You need to put a whole Bible in that hard drive, audio.
Wow.
So that when you drive, mm-hmm. click, Ephesians, yes. click, whatever scripture you can mm-hmm. be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find out how you can advance mm-hmm. your Bible reading or your Bible listening, put it in your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I watch the peace of God flow on her as she does what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
You do what the Word of God says, you're going to be successful.
Thank
finally,
you,
brethren,
yes.
whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest,
mm-hmm.
whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
End of your thoughts. Think on what God wants you to think on. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity. Jesus is for you also. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a glorious, wonderful salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and mouth of confession is made unto salvation. It's simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, and you confess him as Lord and Savior. And you'll be saved. You're accepting his forgiveness by faith. You can do this by saying this simple prayer. We can pray it out loud together where you are. Let's repeat these words. Father God.
Father God.
I come to you. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. And he was raised from the dead for me. Now I call him my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness. I am walking a new life with him. Amen. You pray that prayer today, the first time, please contact us. So we can send you materials. It was wonderful. Praise God. Amen.
Glory.
Are you going to keep your mind on Jesus?
Yes.
Are you going to think on the things, even at the end of these year, end of year thoughts?
Yes.
Keep your mind on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to close. You have anything else? We're going to close with our verse. Praise the name of Jesus. I know we're probably getting out pretty early today. Oh, actually, I'm preaching longer than I thought. Praise God.
It's all good.
Okay.
Amen.
Let us just let's stand as we give our going out verse. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of being before you in the last 2 weeks. The opportunities. Praise God. God has been so good.
Amen.
And I'm so glad our pastor has been able to have an opportunity to be able to be with his family. That's a blessing to me.
Yes,
and you know, as we all begin to step up and do our part, all of us can be ministered to, even our pastors. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.